Greetings in the wonderful name of our Savior and Lord. Your speaker is Johnny Horn of Atchison, Kansas, and I should like to have the pleasure of being your guest now for the next few minutes as we pursue the epistle of Paul to the Ephesians just a little bit further. You will perhaps remember that we spoke in the first chapter in our last broadcast to you, and we should like to say just a little bit more about it. This book written by Paul, our apostle, consists of but six chapters. The first three chapters we have doctrine, and the last three chapters bring before us a duty, our responsibility as those who have been reached and saved by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we further pointed out that in this very first chapter, we have a great deal said about His will. And then we have His grace and His blood, His glory, His calling, His power, and His body, of course, referring to the redeemed of the Lord, every member of the body of Christ. And we shall perhaps say a little as to how we get into that one body. However, we did point out that all Christians should be desirous of learning the will of God, and not only a desire to learn His will, but a desire to carry out that will. We pointed out that Paul, our apostle, in the very first verse, became an apostle by divine choice, and not by apostolic succession. He was called an apostle. This, of course, is brought out in the epistle of Paul to the Romans. Now, there's a great deal, as we have said, in this first chapter of Ephesians about the will of God. We have it in the first verse, and then again in verse 5, and we shall not say too much about that, but in the last part of the fifth verse, we have the pleasure of His will, and in verse 9, the mystery of His will. Now, should I say that should any be listening in who are not yet born again, who are not clear in your mind as to whether or not your sins are forgiven, whether or not you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, we would say to you, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, that you might bow to His terms, that you might trust Him as your personal Savior, and then you can learn His will, walk in that will, and do His will to the praise and to the glory of His grace. Should I remind you, too, further, that unsaved people cannot walk in His holy will, nor can they learn His will, other than to learn that this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men be saved, that is to say, who desires to have all men be saved. But if you were to turn to the epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 8, the apostle there tells us, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now notice, he did not say, they that are in the flesh may not please God. So you can look that man or that woman straight in the eye, that boy or that girl, any person you have ever met in your lifetime who has not been regenerated, who has not been reached and saved by the grace of God, you can say to that person without a second's hesitation, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And you can tell that person he cannot take a step heavenward or Godward until, first of all, divine life has been imparted. The speaker listened to a man speaking to some of his friends. It was a public meeting. But in this public meeting, he said to some of his friends who were listening in, now he said, I want you to know that for every step you take Godward, He will take two steps in your direction. Now this certainly is untrue and contrary to the whole teaching of the Word of God. How can a man take a step Godward who is dead, spiritually dead, without one degree of life, as dead as it is possible to be, and would be as incapable for that man to attempt to rise and walk in the ways of God as it would be for a man who has been dead for many years to enter into this as a soldier of our country. He just couldn't be. He couldn't join the army, could he? if he's dead and has been laid away in a cemetery for years. And so the truth is, spiritually speaking, no man, no woman can walk in the ways of God or perform any good acts or meritorious acts until, first of all, they have been given life. And then you can learn the perfect will of God. Now, we did say a great deal about His grace, too, and His blood. They're all brought out in this wonderful chapter, and we have a great deal said about forgiveness, and we have something said about redemption, too, and our inheritance. I would say to you that this first chapter of Ephesians abounds with blessings that are ours in our Lord Jesus Christ and are yours for the taking. That is to say, any listening in, if you'd bow to the truth of God, take Christ as your Savior and find cleansing under His precious blood, then all that's spoken of in that first chapter and the first three chapters, of course, could become yours and yours at once. Now, I'm thinking about something that's found in verse 18 that I want to say just a little bit about in the remaining moments of this little broadcast to you. Verse 18 says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints." Now, of course, this is written to some who had once been in the dark, and they were brought into the light. This is said to some who were once dead, but now have life. This is said to some who were once in the kingdom of Satan, but have been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. But you know, I'd like to say a little something about that calling that's spoken of in that 18th verse. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. And oh, how the speaker remembers when darkness filled his heart and darkness filled his soul. Everything seemed to be darkness to me wherever I looked, and I could see no way out. Ah, friends, I thank God for that moment in my life when I was brought out of darkness into light, when the eyes of my understanding were enlightened. And that's exactly what He'd like to do for you. Now, He says something here about His calling. His calling. You know, I believe that all men at some time or other, all people, mankind I'm speaking of, have at some time or other heard the call. Of course, wherever the gospel has penetrated. You see, God speaks through His first and oldest book, Creation, to those who have never heard the word and the salvation of God. But I'm speaking now of those who have had gospel opportunities and gospel privileges. I believe that I'm speaking to some who can say definitely, yes, I look back and I can remember with distinct clearness when I felt the call. I felt that the blessed Son of God was calling to me. I felt the Spirit of God was knocking at my heart's door, but I simply didn't respond and I simply didn't let Him in. I think of a very interesting passage. It's found in the Gospel by St. John. You can look at it sometime when you have the time and the opportunity, and I'm sure it would cheer you too to turn to it. It's found in the 11th chapter. It was the time when Mary and Martha were sorrowing because they had lost their brother. And this is what I want you to get now. And Martha arose and she went to her sister. And when she came to her sister, she said, "Mary, the Master calleth for thee." Oh, I tell you, she acted so wisely. And look what it says. You'll find it if you're to turn there. I'm sure it's in the 11th of St. John and perhaps 28 and 29. And we read, "As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him." You know, that's what obeying the call means. It's to arise and to come to him. There's no use in going in any other direction. No, you could join the church, and that would not be coming to him. You could turn over a new leaf, and that would not be coming to him. You could reform your ways, but that wouldn't be coming to him. It's the Master that's calling for you, and oh, just shut everybody else out, your nearest and your dearest friends, and those things that would even tend to come in and hinder you, and do like dear Mary did. She arose and came quickly unto him. And you know, if you came to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll tell you what you'd hear, and I'll tell you what you would hear right today. And if you turn to the 11th chapter of St. Matthew, and about verse 28, you'll read these words, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now that's a pledge and a promise on the part of the Savior. And then you know, you'd be able to enter into the good of all that's we've been pointing out to you in the first chapter of the Epistle to the Ephesians. It's so essential to hear that call, so essential to respond to that call, to make Christ your own personal Savior. And he's so near you of that, I am very sure. And it would grieve him to think of any hearing his voice and turning away, because he says, "Harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation." Today, if you will hear his voice, and you have been hearing the voice of the Son of God. "Oh, what shall I do?" says someone. "Well, I'll tell you what to do. Come just as you are, in all your guilt and all your sin. Trust him as your own personal Savior. As many as receive him, to them give you power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name." Now, we'd like to get a line from you. Drop us a note in care of the station to which you have been listening, or Good News Hour, 419 Smith Street, Atchison, Kansas. In the meantime, may you be blessed of God, is our daily prayer.